The first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 13. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
Let me pray as we look at that passage together. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand it, to see what a difference it makes to our lives, and to go from here living changed lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just think back over the past year and think about your experience of church. Maybe coming to church or watching online or your relationships with other people in the church. And just in your head, rate them on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is low and 10 is high. I think very few of us would put church and our experience of it over the past year up at a 10, for all sorts of reasons. You know, the restrictions of COVID would be high up on the list of those. We see it now, don't we? Our faces still masked, and we can't see each other's expressions. We can't smile at each other. We can't encourage one another in that way. And the fact that we're so spread out, the fact that we don't have enough, we can't have everyone in the building all at the same time. The fact that, yes, we now are able to sing outside when the sunshine is glorious, but we can't do that in the services, can we? And that can affect our experience of church. Maybe we're fed up of joining in with groups on Zoom. We long to meet in person again. Maybe it's sad that we can't see the friends that we used to see in Sunday Club. Maybe there are people we've fallen out with, and that makes church difficult. Maybe there are so many competing demands on your time, family, and going away to see them at the weekend. You know, the sun comes out, and you could be out in the garden or out for a bike ride. For many people, church is just irrelevant. What does God have to say to us this morning through Peter in his first letter? Peter is writing, we're told, in chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, he's written briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God, stand fast in it. He wants to encourage Christians to keep on going. And he's told us, we saw a couple of weeks ago, that in his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we receive that. We're born again through the living and enduring word of God. But in this life, chapter 1, verse 6, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. That's why we need encouragement to keep going on. And now in this section, Peter talks about the church. And he says that human beings are divided into two kinds of people. And we're divided depending on how we respond to Jesus. And so Jesus is described as the living stone. He's rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. He was rejected, he was put to death on a cross, but he was chosen by God to be the one who rescued us. He's precious to his heavenly Father. And so he was raised from the dead. And those who believe in Jesus are those who come to him. And Peter says, you're being built together like living stones into a spiritual house. In the Old Testament, God had a temple. That's where his presence was. A physical building made out of bricks with carving and gold. And that was the temple in the Old Testament. But now God is building a new temple, not made out of bricks, but out of bodies, people. And we, as God's people, are the place where God lives. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that God lives in us by his Spirit. But here, Peter's saying that God lives in us together by his Spirit. We are together his temple, his house. But we're not just a building. We're also a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. Again, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were a holy priesthood offering sacrifices to God. But now that's what we all do. And they're spiritual sacrifices. We don't offer animals like they did in the Old Testament. We offer spiritual sacrifices. And Peter will tell us what those are. Look ahead at verse 9. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The sacrifice of our lips, saying how excellent God is because of what he's done. And so we praise him. And then verse 12, live such good lives. The sacrifice of our lives. Every area of our life being offered to God as a sacrifice. The way we do our work at school. The way we work. How we relate in our marriages. How we bring up our children. How we use our time, how we use our money. They're spiritual because it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to offer these to God. And they're acceptable through Jesus Christ. We're sinful by ourselves. We couldn't offer God anything. But because Jesus died and rose again, we're forgiven. And so our sacrifice to him is acceptable. And then he takes us to the Old Testament and quotes, it's Isaiah 28 verse 16, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who put trust in him will never be put to shame. So we're going to start building up a picture here. And we start in the bottom corner with a cornerstone, the foundation of the building, and we're going to put Jesus. And those who trust in him are like living stones built on that foundation. So we're going to put some more stones on there. And I'm going to write Christians. And you can imagine those stones and put your own name in it. Okay, I'm going to put another one on top. I'm going to leave it blank and just imagine your own name there. If you're trusting in Jesus, you are a living stone built into that temple. But there's another kind of person, and that is a person who builds their life on some other foundation other than Jesus, another rock other than Jesus. They don't think that Jesus is worth building their life on. It could be anything else. And Peter says that people reject that stone, but it's become the capstone, the most important stone. And we heard about that in Psalm 118, didn't we? And Jesus himself quoted that psalm when he was teaching the religious leaders and saying that that's true of them. They had rejected him. They were the builders who had rejected the most important stone. And what's the result? Verse 8, it's become a stone that causes people to stumble and makes them fall. So rather than being built up, they're, I'm going to draw them here, they're kind of on the ground underneath. Should have left myself more room. They've stumbled on the stone of Jesus and they fall. They come under God's judgment, his condemnation for rejecting Jesus. And Peter says they stumble because they disobey the message. This is the message that Jesus died and rose again, that we can have new life in him, we can be saved from our sins, we can be with him forever in eternity. And they don't obey the call to repent and believe. Now there are some hard words at the end of verse 8. It says, this is also what they were destined for. And Peter teaches us that God is absolutely sovereign, in control of people being saved. And that might be difficult for us to accept, but we need to remember that none of us deserve for God to save us. We've all turned away from him. God doesn't make us do that. And that's the nature of God's mercy, his grace. We don't deserve it. He gives it freely. And God is God. And it's up to him to determine who he will save. And now Peter goes back to those who are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But before we get to that, there was an episode of Antiques Roadshow last year, and someone brought a brooch. Can we have it up on the screen? Well, it's coming up. This brooch was brought in. It was handed down this person's family. There it is, from grandmother to son, and then it was given to the granddaughter for her wedding, something blue. And she had taken it to jewellers and was told, this is costume jewellery. This is paste, it's worthless, take it away. That's what she was told. So she brought it to Antiques Roadshow and had it valued. And she was told, this is a real sapphire. And as sapphires go, this is pretty big actually. And those stones around it, those are real diamonds. And if you were to put this in an auction, well, anyone guess? I don't know if you know about these things. Anyone guess how much it would go for at auction? Okay, I've got some budding auctioneers in the front row here. Cadman.
A million.
Not a million, no, we're not quite in that range. A bit lower. Anyone else in the room? Henry. 25,000, do you say? That's the right order. So it's actually 40 to 50,000. 40 to 50,000. So you can imagine she was pretty surprised. There she is. There are two kinds of people. There are those who are like those supposed experts who looked at that brooch and said, this is worthless, and rejected it. And there are those who see it for its true value. And they see Jesus for his true value and build his life on him. And Peter goes on to tell us more about them. He calls them a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And these are all descriptions from the Old Testament used of God's people Israel in Exodus 19 when God had rescued them from slavery and brought them to Mount Sinai and said, if you keep my covenant, this is what you'll be. But they didn't. And so many generations later, they ended up in exile. And then again, God made a promise to take them to be his chosen people, to belong to him. Isaiah 43. And now God is saying, you who are built on the living stone of Jesus Christ, that's who you are. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And the thing about a priesthood is their ultimate focus is on God. They worship God. They serve God. And that's what we are to do as a royal priesthood. He says that you may declare the praises of him. And that means to talk about how excellent is, all the things that make God excellent, all the wonderful things that he's done. And in particular, he's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's what people who are outside of Christ are. They're in darkness, the darkness of our sin, our rebellion against God. And we are under his condemnation. But when we trust in Jesus, we're brought into light, the light of forgiveness, of new life, of the hope of an inheritance in eternity. We were not a people, but we are God's people. We didn't have mercy, but now we've received mercy. And again, Peter's drawing on God's promises to his people in the Old Testament. Israel had gone into exile and God said, you are not a people and now you are my people. You had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. And he opens the doors and says, this is for all who trust in Christ. And so, what does that make us? What does God doing that for us make us? And Peter tells us in the last two verses, it makes us aliens and strangers. It means that we're like people living in a foreign land. We are a people, we are a nation living within another nation. And the things that we think are important, our beliefs, the way we live, will be different from the world around us. And within us, although we've been given new life, we still have to fight against what we were like before, what we're like by nature. And being in this society that is different, we'll be under temptation, we'll face a battle, there'll be a war within us. And so Peter says, live such good lives among the pagans, that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We're to live good lives. That's another aspect of the spiritual sacrifices we offer. Our lives. And Christians, when Peter was writing, were accused of doing wrong because of the way that they lived that was so different from the world around them. They were accused of being atheists, people who had no gods, because they believed that Jesus was the only God and got rid of all the Roman gods. It would have been fine to have Jesus as one more God along the rest, but to get rid of all the other gods and just have Jesus, well, that was wrong. They thought the Christians were cannibals because they had talked about Jesus' body and blood in communion. They thought the Christians and the way that Christians lived was wrong. And Christians aren't to just blend in with their world. They are to live in obedience to God. They are to live good lives as God tells us to. And that will lead them to come to faith so that when Jesus returns, they'll be part of his people and praise him. That's what the end of that verse means. Let me tell you about someone who did that and how that works in practice for someone. I was learning this week about a man called Barry. Barry had a hard upbringing. He lost his mother when he was quite young. He fell out with his dad. He was expelled from school, got into stealing, ended up in detention centres. But then he got a job working for a construction company. His boss was an Irish Catholic. His boss had 12 children, so we've got a small family here in the front row. And his boss took him to meet various members of his family, including his daughter, when he was doing odd jobs for them. And his daughter, and this is what he says, the very first time I met her, I could tell that there was something different about her. I couldn't explain it. And he is introduced to her friends, and he examines very closely the way that they live. And he's very interested. He says, by this time I was getting interested in the kind of Christianity I had seen being lived out in the lives of Philomena, her brother Vinny, and other members of her family. These are people who were Christians like Peter describes them here. They'd been given new birth. They had been born again by the living word of God. And so Billy asks questions. They explain the gospel to him. He reads the Bible. He realizes that change will have to happen in his life, the company he keeps. But he decides that it's worth it, and he commits his life to Christ. He invites Jesus into his life. And he's changed. God changes him and takes away his bad temper, his desire to steal. And now Barry works going into prisons in Nicaragua, sharing the gospel with prisoners. There's someone who saw the good deeds of Christians, and now is someone who will glorify God on the day he visits us. So, what is Jesus saying to us this morning? Well, through 1 Peter chapter 2, Jesus is saying to us, will you offer your lives as spiritual sacrifices together with God's people? This is all addressed to God's people as a whole, not just as us as isolated individuals. Central to all this is our worship, our focus on God. And that's true in our worship of God together, as we declare God's praises, as we speak and sing of what he's done for us. And then out of that flows the worship of our lives. And that is what will lead people around us to become Christians and be those who glorify God themselves. And so meeting together like this is central to this whole process. And we need to be prepared that the worship of our lives is going to lead us to being accused of doing wrong by our society. People are going to think that we're doing wrong by the decisions we make in how we bring up our children, or the decisions we make at work, or the decisions we make in our marriage and how we use our time and our money and where we put it, and all sorts of things. The things that Christians believe are going to be thought of as harmful in our society. We need to be prepared for that. That's what Peter was preparing people for in his day. Nevertheless, we need to live in obedience to God, offer our lives as spiritual sacrifices. And we need to not be anxious that people will be put off by the way that we stand out and the way that we live, or put off by our worship, by what they hear when they come to church, the style of music that they encounter, the language that they hear. God is ultimately responsible for who he gives new birth to. That's what we saw at the beginning of the letter. He addresses his readers as God's elect. Those who disobey the message were destined for it. We're called to be faithful, but the results are ultimately in God's hands, and we need to trust him with that. And if you're in here or you're listening online and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, don't reject Jesus, the living stone. Don't be like those supposed experts who said that the sapphire was worthless. See Jesus as who he is, as precious, and come to him as the living stone and become part of God's holy people, his temple where he lives. God is building a temple not out of bricks but out of bodies, people who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus came, that is why Jesus died, to build this temple. And as we come to him and as we worship him and offer spiritual sacrifices, it will bear the fruit of people glorifying God in our world. Let me pray for us. Father, we admit that without your Son we are in darkness. We pray that, we thank you that you sent him into this world, that he died and rose again. And we thank you that when we build on him as our cornerstone, you make us into your people, you show us mercy, you build us into your temple where you are present by your Spirit. Help us to declare how excellent you are and live lives that are spiritual sacrifices to you. And please use us to bring other people to know you. Amen.